It's 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, where for the next hour program, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents.
Well, I do like a certain girl. She moves like a dancing dream.
she's missed everyone I miss, and I guess he's always got his mind. I'm blessed, she treats me so damn kind.
That's Devendra Benhart. New music from him, in fact, with a song called Queen Bee. As we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. And streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole nine yards, the whole enchilada is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. Home, I hasten to add, but how could you not in an animal show, of the anteaters, the mighty, mighty anteaters. Shouldn't be a chuckle in my voice. I don't know what would explain that. That's not right. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy, I'm telling you, we love to get calls here, Talking Animals. You can also instant message us by way of AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name, not surprisingly perhaps, Talking Animals. Other less immediate ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and via, our website, talkinganimals.net. Again, make no mistake, folks, that's .net. Also, before I move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another snappy session of The Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website, the aforementioned talkinganimals.net, where nearly every show we've ever broadcast is archived. And checking that out, or having listened to us before, or listening to me now, believing me, you'll know that the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant or some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Margaret Cho, the veteran comedian and activist, a whip-smart provocateur. The Sacramento Bee called her the Richard Pryor of her generation. And, in fact, Jerry Seinfeld made the same comparison. And she just released her fourth concert film, Assassin. And that's to be followed quickly by a CD, a DVD, a book, I Have Chosen to Stay and Fight, and her first feature film, Bam Bam and Celeste. In the animal realm, she's a longtime animal lover, big into animal rescue, passionate about animal rights. Her writings include a piece in the canine literary anthology, Dog is My Co-Pilot. Hell, she's visited a monastery for dogs in Tibet. What else do you want? So, as an activist, she's worked tirelessly on behalf of gay rights, women's rights, animal rights, and a number of other causes and issues. So there'll be plenty to discuss when Margaret Cho joins us here in a few minutes on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions. And about animal news, any other thing you'd like to bring up, if you're involved with a fundraiser for an animal organization, just a general observation, whatever, we're game, we're eager. Call us up, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, or you can IM us again, Abel, and some messages screen name is Talking Animals. So turning now to interesting and or important developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. It could happen. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So having said that, let's talk turkey, as it were. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department, let's jump in, shall we? All right, so I guess locally, at least, the stories are fires, fires, and more fires. So unfortunately, there's good and bad news related to animals on that front. Starting with, I think a few days ago in the LA Times, 80,600 chickens killed in a wildfire. Firefighters battling a blaze in the foothills of Central Riverside County saved dozens of homes Wednesday and Thursday, but 80,600 chickens at the MCM Poultry Egg Farm never had a chance. The blaze incinerated three of the farm's gigantic chicken coops, which were packed with caged egg-laying hens. Well, when you have more than 80,000 chickens, it's hard to get real close to any one of them, but of course we feel real bad, says Steve Nichols, owner of the egg farm, a 46-year-old family business off a dirt road in the Badlands area between Moreno Valley and Redlands. The fire appears to have started in one of the coops and spread quickly to the surrounding hillsides, blackening more than 1,100 acres. And that story, of course, continues as sadly the fires do, and unfortunately it looks like the hot, windy weather is going to kind of gear back up again as the week unfolds. So, but on a more positive note related to the fires, the scene at Pierce College on Thursday was worthy of Noah. Pot-bellied pigs, llamas, alpacas, horses, mules, a blind pygmy goat, and a yard-long African spur thigh tortoise took up residence on a pastoral swath of land amid strip malls, office buildings, and townhouse developments. All were evacuees from the Topanga Fire, which roared through the canyons of the San Fernando Valley and Ventura County on Wednesday and Thursday. Some had been let loose by their fleeing owners and rounded up by Los Angeles Department of Animal Services. Others were brought by their owners or anyone who had room in a livestock trailer. Quote, it's better to have the animal hitch a ride with a passing trailer than burn to death in a locked stall, said volunteer Angie Disha, a Pierce student who had helped tend the animals through the night, catching only an hour nap in the backseat of her Ford Focus. About 150 horses and several dozen other large animals had taken refuge at Pierce in the Warner Center area of Los Angeles over the past 2 days, either in roomy barns or tied to posts in the agricultural college's corrals. The bevy of volunteers and Pierce students fed and walked the animals or simply petted and soothed them. Some contributed feed, supplementing the more than 200 bales of hay provided by Animal Services. Quote, strangers are coming off the streets with carrots, said Beth Smith, who was visiting her two horses. The community really comes together, especially the horse people, said Troy Boswell, an animal control officer on hand at Pierce. Some horse owners stayed by their animal sides for most of the night as the fires ravaged thousands of acres nearby. And the story continues from there. And then I guess we almost have to swing back to the Louisiana area where, of course, it's just the opposite virtually. And although this was an element that hasn't really been covered as much, so I thought we'd touch on this briefly. This is from CNN.com, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Army used Black Hawk helicopters to search for thousands of cattle feared stranded in high water Monday amid reports that more than 4,000 may have been killed in the aftermath of Hurricane Rita. Quote, take all the coastal parishes, they all had cattle, said Bob Feltner, spokesman for the Louisiana Cattlemen's Association. It could be more than 30,000 in trouble. The storm flattened towns and swamp fields in Cameron and Vermilion parishes just east of the Texas line. Scores of cattle were seen swimming in the brown floodwaters. Quote, the big thing now is to focus on keeping the cattle alive, said Army Lieutenant General Russell Honore, commander of the military task force in charge of Louisiana. He said there were reports that 4,000 cattle died in Cameron Parish alone, where ranchers on horseback struggled to herd the animals onto corrals attached to pickup trucks. The military may use satellite positioning systems to help spot surviving animals, Honore said. And that tricky story goes on from there. But on a related note, and very much related to our show last week that we largely devoted to people who had gone down to New Orleans and surrounding areas to help rescue, care for, just otherwise assist the animals down there. I have this note from Dr. Jennifer Conrad, who was one of the guests that did join us last week and oversees the Animal General Hospital, and basically just sort of urging people that if they have the time to please get down to New Orleans now, and that there's really a lot of help that people need, and you know, a lot of abandoned animals are still alive, and just the sooner you can get down there, the better. And just sort of talks about, just even the day before she sent this, what kind of animals were rescued and helped. So if you want more information, please email info@animalgeneralhospital.org, or simply go to the animalgeneralhospital.org website. And of course, you can still donate to that website, which I did last week after she was on. It's really easy to do. And there's all kinds of information. So just, you know, maybe have a few days. Maybe you could take some vacation time that you weren't sure what you're going to do with. Maybe you could just scoot down for a long weekend. Whatever. The point is, these animals still need help. And this is a good way to sort of do it in a you know, very structured, helpful way, so nobody's wasting time or resources. So that's animalgeneralhospital.org. All right, time now for our little animal quiz, and I think you know how this works. If you're the first person to call with the correct answer, you will have your choice of many prizes, from Talking Animals stuff, including Talking Animals sweatshirt or coffee mugs, to books, CDs, usually involving guests that have been on the show in the past, T-shirts from other animal organizations, cat toys, dog collars, other stuff too. Maybe even surprises. Who knows? But, so, if you know the answer to this, it's a true-false question. If you're the first person to call with the correct answer, you'll have your choice of that prize, as somebody will later on when we play Name the Animal Tune towards the end of the show. So, true or false? Only male turkeys gobble. Females make a clicking sound. If you know, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And just going to continue with a couple more things here, and then jump into the comedy corner, and then welcome our guest, Margaret Cho. So this is kind of a rough one on the very local scene. A decorated Santa Ana police officer was sentenced this week after pleading guilty to stealing more than $25,000 from an organization that cares for working and retired police dogs. The money had been intended to pay for such things as the retired dog's medical care, group pet insurance, and SWAT tactic seminars for many of Orange County's 55 canine teams, said Todd Schmaltz, president of the Orange County Police Canine Association. Quote, it definitely could have helped a lot of dogs, said Schmaltz, an Orange County sheriff's deputy who works with a six-year-old German shepherd named Maximus. I don't know what he was thinking, but there's no excuse for what he did. Eric Stephen Remont, 45, of Wildomar, Riverside County, pleaded guilty Tuesday to embezzlement and admitted cashing 13 checks during the last two of his 9 years as association president. He was placed on 5 years probation and was ordered to perform 200 hours of community service and to reimburse the association $25,490 and give it an additional $5,000. Now, on a lighter note, because sometimes the animal news isn't really full of light notes, but sometimes that's necessarily the case. I thought I would just share a little cartoon I saw on the New Yorker the other day. It's two dogs, really nice-looking dogs, that are obviously engaged in conversation. And one is saying to the other, I had my own blog for a while, but I decided to go back to just pointless, incessant barking. So, not bad. I enjoyed it. All right, lastly, a couple quick things. The Animal Rescue Site, we talk about this periodically on the show, but I think in light of you know, what's going on in and around Louisiana, what's going on locally here in the wake of the fires, and just generally, it's time for another reminder. The Animal Rescue Site is indeed a website. It's theanimalrescuesite.com, and you can go, and in fact, I'm urging you to go every day, and there's a little section as soon as you get there that says Feed an Animal in Need. And you just click on that. And because of an arrangement with the corporate sponsors and advertisers, that indeed does free up money to help feed and care for abandoned and neglected animals and animals that have been rescued, like from Katrina or from some of these fires. So please do it. You can do it, like I say, every day, and there's no reason you can't. I mean, it's a good deed for the day. You're just sitting there in your pajamas, probably, at the computer, and you're already doing something cool for animals. So it's theanimalrescuesite.com. Maybe you're not in your pajamas. I don't know. I just added it. Okay, on a similar note, this is something I wasn't aware of till recently, and I, for some reason, just, you know, haven't gotten to it in the news. We didn't really do the news last week, etc. But much like the thing I just told you about with the animal rescue site, if you go to babyseals.care2.com, same deal. If you click there, when you get there, this helps in the efforts to you know, battle the seal hunts, which are really, as we learned from Paul Watson a month or two ago, seal slaughters, and unfortunately it's baby seals that these people really want to slaughter because that's more attractive for coats and pelts and whatever. I mean, I can't even really get too specific there, but but you know, you've seen the footage, you've read about it. I mean, they're clubbed to death, they're shot to death. Anyway, so this clicking on this website and this little section on the site helps in the same way, again, through sponsors or donors or advertisers or whatever, to help combat that. So it's babyseals.care2, the numeral 2.com. So try to go there, too, every day. All right, so I think that's, we might have time for one more thing. Let's see. You know, I've been meaning to get to this, too. This is kind of local and weird. Admitted Python thief Jeffrey Kwan couldn't slither out of a six-month sentence Thursday. The 25-year-old Anaheim Hills man pleaded guilty in October to stealing 14 exotic ball pythons valued at $75,000 from a breeder's home, court officials said. The snakes were stolen in January 2004 from Jeff Houston's Anaheim Hills home, where he and his wife had been breeding the reptiles for 3 years for a retirement income, he said. They had more than 100 snakes, but Houston said Kwan had taken the most valuable. After the theft, Houston trolled reptile websites and found a seller hawking an adult Mojave ball python for $18,000. He engineered a sting with police that netted 9 of the stolen serpents. He used a relative's email address to arrange the purchase, and an Anaheim police officer posed as the buyer at the martial arts school where Kwan taught karate. The 2-foot python's midsection bore a pattern roughly the shape of Italy, exactly like one of Houston's missing snakes, and it went on from there. So, let's see. I think going to do. If we have time, we'll get in a couple more pieces that I had in mind. But if there are ever any news stories or announcements, events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with any comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, and let's just skip over some of that, and then let's jump into the Comedy Corner, which is always, of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Paul F. Tompkins with a piece called Alternative Pets on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
People have their alternative pets on their person. People walk around with animals on their body. See a guy who's got an iguana hanging out up there on his shoulder? See another person with a crazy cockatiel? Just hanging out. And I guess you're supposed to have some reaction to these people. You know, I guess what they want you to say is something like, well, pardon me, sir. Is that a bird on your shoulder? Well, you must be one fascinating individual. Your personality is not at all manufactured. I say, what if we were to exchange addresses and became pen pals? That way I could collect your letters in a bound volume entitled My Correspondence with the Most Interesting Person Alive. Working hard for you. That's great. You can have any animal that you want, you know, because we have dominion over the beasts of the fields and all, you know, but here's the thing. Even animals need some alone time, okay? How about that, you know? Maybe the lizard would like to sit at home, play on the rock for a while, you know? Maybe the bird would like to play with the bell, look in the mirror for a little bit. Maybe they don't have to come with you on all your jackass errands. How about that? Leave them alone for a minute. Come on, Cecil, we're going down to the bank. Neatly. Everybody can see your crazy eyes. Woo!
All right, that was Paul F. Tompkins in the Comedy Corner with a piece called Alternative Pets. Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're listening to Talking Animals at KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way. Some of you, perhaps, arrived through our swell website, TalkingAnimals.net. Speaking of which, I want to remind you to visit there at your next opportunity. Shortly, perhaps, talkinganimals.net, and sign up for the email list. We can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of about every show we've ever done since we went on the air with Talking Animals. sort of photographs and articles, both that we've written and that media types and others have written about us. And there's links and other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site again. It's talkinganimals.net. So before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. And I think what we might do is jump ahead while we're getting Margaret Cho on the phone to name that animal tune, which we typically would do later in the show, but what the heck, we're flexible. So, I think you know how this works. It's just like any other name that tune game you'd care to mention, except that in this case, the tunes are always animal related. So I'll play a little snippet of this tune and there'll be a prize. Did he say prize? That's right. I did say prize. And not unlike the prizes that we mentioned a bit ago for the quiz question, you'll have your choice of those, including Talking Animals, sweatshirts, mugs, CDs, including a cool CD that PETA put together with about 10 or 12 different bands, books, including one from Shirley MacLaine, and called Out on a Leash. And that's a prize. She has not yet been a guest, so most of the prizes are sort of tied to people who have been, but she might be at some point. And again, her dog co-wrote the book with her, which, as I pointed out in the past, I think the dog has a very nice literary style. So see, meanwhile, if you can guess this name, name this animal tune. And if you're the first person to call in and do so, you'll have your choice of those prizes. So you don't have to necessarily translate, but this isn't necessarily what you think it is. But either way, if you can identify this or translate it, you will win Name That Animal Tune. I'm Talking Animals on KUCI. Can you name that animal tune? How about if it wasn't in German? Could you name the animal tune if it weren't in German then? We'll take English or German. Alright. That's okay. If you can't name that animal tune, that's cool. And you can still call in later, although when we're talking to Margaret, it's probably not the best time to guess. But, found that little gem. I mean, anybody could have played the English version. My God. What the heck's... where's the fun in that? All right. Well, I really thought somebody might pounce on that, but... that's okay. All right, this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. And momentarily, our guest Margaret Cho will be joining us. And keep in mind to get in on the conversation if you have some questions or want to join the conversation when we do have Margaret joining us. It's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And I'm just going to slip in one more news story, or I might have a chance. Man, chimp, separated by dab of DNA is the headline. And since, of course, a few weeks ago we had... Okay, you know what? We'll come back to that if we have time. But earlier in the show I mentioned that our guest today is Margaret Cho, the veteran comedian and activist, a whip-smart provocateur. Sacramento Bee called her the Richard Pryor of her generation, and no less than Jerry Seinfeld made the same comparison. She just released her fourth concert film, Assassin, which is to be followed quickly by a CD, a DVD, a book, I Have Chosen to Stay and Fight, and her first feature film, Bam Bam and Celeste. In the animal realm, she's a longtime animal lover, big into animal rescue, passionate about animal rights. Her writings include a piece in the canine literary anthology, Dog is My Co-Pilot. Hell, she's visited a monastery for dogs in Tibet, folks. So as an activist, she's worked tirelessly on behalf of gay rights, women's rights, animal rights, and a number of other causes and issues. Let's welcome Margaret Cho. Margaret, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Margaret. How's it going? Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you.
There's so much ground I'm hoping to cover here, but given the nature of the show, I think it's kind of incumbent on us to start with animals. So I got to ask, how are Bronwyn and Ralph?
I have Gudrun, Bronwyn, and Rafe.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to ask if the population had grown since you wrote that piece for Dog is My Co-Pilot. It sounds like it has. So,
yeah.
So maybe you could, for our listeners who might not have had a chance to read that really sweet piece in Dog is My Co-Pilot, you could describe those two dogs' first days together and then what's happened since, because it sounds like there's been some family growth there.
Well, I have a separate mix, but he's about 8 years old. His name is Race, and he's been an only child for about 6 years, and so when I introduced a new dog, Bronwyn, who was found somewhere downtown, she was sort of kind of very rough shelter mix. We're not really sure what she is, like, you know, sort of like the shelter special, which is sort of every dog mixed into one. And so she moved into our house, and it was very difficult at first because Rafe was running around all of his toys, kind of claiming them as his own. And then when Bronwyn went to go get spayed, when she returned, she was so kind of out of it that he felt sorry for her, and he allowed her to get into his bed with him.
Mm.
And they were sleeping in the bed together, and they've been very, very close ever since. And then Gudrun is our new puppy. She's a Chihuahua shelter mix, also kind of like every dog, but very small. And she's now about 5 months old, and she's getting along very well with the other two.
That's great. And, you know, one of the things that piece that you wrote, when the first two were sort of just getting to know each other, it's just kind of a really breezy, nice, sweet account. But the last line, especially for those of us aware of the, you know, just sort of the struggles and pain and unhappiness that you've contended with over the years, I mean, it lifts the piece, to me at least, to a whole different realm when you're sort of at the very end describing cuddling with those two dogs and they're cuddling with each other. And then you say, I realize that I'm happier than I have ever been.
Yes.
And, I mean, there's kind of that acknowledgement of the healing powers of animals, I mean, which can kind of work both ways, because I think Bronwyn had clearly been through some rough years before she came to your home, and she was scarred in I guess, all kinds of ways.
Yes.
And to what extent do you feel animals, living with animals, can be kind of a healing force and kind of nourish the soul?
Well, it's incredible. I mean, it's I think it has to do a lot just with their naivety, kind of like their warmth, their innocence, their gentleness,
mm-hmm.
as just kind of these beautiful beings. And they live with such simplicity that, you know, they're not worried about all of the sort of, like, dumb things that we get caught up in. They're just so excited to see us all the time.
And, sure.
And so I don't know. I don't know how I could survive without my animals. I really treasure them. They are like family members. I mm-hmm. like them better than most of my family members.
Well, there you go. I guess that's consistent. But, well, also, too, I mean, the thing about animals, and it sounds like this is kind of what you're hitting on, too, is that there's just, it's all about kind of unconditional love. They're not judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
They just intuitively, you know, understand tolerance and forgiveness, you know, and it's
yes.
just a pretty cool place to be. So are you a lifelong animal lover, Margaret?
Yes. So the best. I'm so happy to have all these, like, dogs around. I'm such a good dog mom.
Yeah, yeah, cool. And did you grow up, though, with animals? And if so, what kind? Or was it something you came to kind of more later in life just because you didn't really have the opportunity as much before?
I came to it much later in life. I remember having a dog when I was very young, but it wasn't really mine, and I didn't really care for it, and I was too young to really understand it. It was gone before I was old enough to really know him. So after that, we didn't really have animals. We sort of had fish, but that's not really the same thing. You can't really build as close of a relationship with fish.
Right.
Maybe some people can. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. So when I was living on my own and living in Los Angeles and kind of on my own in this big city, I thought that a dog would be good protection and good company. I didn't really even know what kind of contribution it would make to my life. I just thought, oh, well, this is a kind of a good idea, kind of
mm-hmm.
on a whim,
mm-hmm.
and turned out to be the best thing I ever did.
That's so cool. Well, let me just let our listeners know, this is Talking Animals, and KUCI, I was speaking with comedian and activist Margaret Cho, whose latest film is Assassin, and her new book just about to come out, as I Have Chosen to Stay Here and Fight. If you'd like to join the conversation, have a question for Margaret, please call us at 949-824-5824. So in kind of discussing the healing and sort of power of animals and the spirituality that they can possess, or just kind of that warmth you described, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on the monastery for dogs you visited while in Tibet. I mean, it's described in some detail in your great new book, I Have Chosen to Stay and Fight, but maybe you could just give us a sense of what that was like, what you saw, and how you felt there.
Well, there's this incredible, incredible monastery. I mean, Tibet is a beautiful, beautiful country, and there's so many holy sites, but one in particular was very interesting, and it was in a very small town, kind of near, very, very near the top, very high up in the Himalayas, and there was this monastery set up for wayward monks who had died and reincarnated into dogs. That was the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the monastery, it was pretty much populated entirely by dogs, all different kinds of dogs, all sizes, all shapes, all colors, all ages,
mm-hmm.
From like really like from these litters of squirming puppies to big older very very kind of like austere looking dogs, and the monks there, human monks, took care of these dogs, and in the understanding that they were the souls of wayward monks who were trying to get back onto the wheel of life, and so it was amazing. You would get like big ball of flour and butter that they would give you and so it was like this dough that you could give to the dogs, and the dogs would actually wait in line for treats.
Wow.
Which is totally astounding. I've never seen that before. They actually had it like kind of worked out where they would wait in line and they would give them treats, and there was not any kind of fighting and no real sort of dog activity that I really am familiar with. It was just very unusual. And yes, there were dogs everywhere inside the temple and asleep all over the grounds, and it was a really beautiful, serene sight. Really incredible place, and I've never seen anything like it. And I've traveled all over the world, and that's got to be the only place that really has sort of the sanctuary for dogs in that way.
Yeah, and the idea that they would wait patiently in line like that, I mean, you know, right away you could think, okay, I guess these probably are monks.
Yeah, I think that they really are, or they're very, very well trained, but I don't
right.
know who was training them, because
yeah.
the people there didn't seem to have that kind of relationship with the dogs. They were just have taken care of the place, and it was very amazing, unusual, very spiritual, beautiful place.
Wow, that's so cool. On a sort of different note, because your work as an activist involves just, again, tireless efforts on behalf of gay rights, women's rights, animal rights, and a number of other causes and issues, I'm interested in what sort of connections you see between the animal rights or animal liberation movement and the other movements or causes that are important to you.
I think it really all is about compassion and
mm-hmm.
about understanding and being kind to all living forms, that really we have the same rights as anybody else, and also any other animals, that they should be counted as as you know, the same like rights to life and mm-hmm. And the kind of compassion that we should show to all living things. So that's sort of my whole, I guess, mantra is sort of like just looking at equality first
mm-hmm.
for anything, and animals certainly definitely qualify for that.
Right. It's just the whole idea of, you know, people who are viewed sometimes, creatures, others, whatever, as occupying a lesser station
mm-hmm.
where it's actually about, you know, being treated equally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And which kind of brings me to something in the new book, you know, that people who follow your work for any length of time, I don't think will be surprised at how frank and candid you are. They might be surprised, at least I kind of was, at one of the things that you talk about, where earlier in your career you turned down a comedy special that was to feature political comedians because you didn't think you were political.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that, like, now, isn't that, like, just, I mean, that seems funny, even.
Yeah,
I mean, doesn't it? I mean,
it's an odd thing. I mean, it's really about entitling yourself to an opinion. And for whatever reason, at that point, I felt that I wasn't entitled to an opinion. I felt very insecure about my own political agenda and my ideas politically, because I think I had such a hard time kind of negotiating my race and my gender with my work and trying to get ahead and get some attention. That I tried to be as apolitical as possible in order not to rock the boat, because I felt I was rocking the boat enough with my identity.
But wasn't that, I mean, and also looking back, wasn't there also at least some issue of definition of what political meant? Because just as you're explaining it now, what you were talking about then was very political.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and yet it was that I was thinking that being political meant talking about specific,
like what's happening in the White House or
yeah.
in Congress or something. Yeah.
Yeah, just sort of like news of the day and the issues that kind of face the, like, kind of, you know, these like politicos all the time that we were talking about and Meet the Press and stuff like that. That's what I sort of thought that was political. And
mm-hmm.
of course that is, but there's so much more to it.
Absolutely. And on a very related note, I mean, among the causes and issues that are clearly enormously important to you is the case of the West Memphis Three. And, you know, important to a lot of activists and political aware folks. In fact, there's a woman on the air here who's very passionate about this and has organized benefits for the Defense Fund. But you've taken your concerns a step further than most. Maybe you could take a moment and just sort of outline that situation and your involvement with the works of Damien Eccles.
Well, Damien Eccles is, of course, one of the West Memphis Three, and they are a group of three young men who have been wrongly accused, of the murder of three little boys in West Memphis, Arkansas. And it's a terrible, terrible case of basically what's a witch hunt. I mean, it's a modern-day witch hunt, and it's incredibly unjust. And Damien is on death row currently in Arkansas, and it's just terrible. These innocent men have been, now they're men. They were boys, actually, when they were first convicted, but now they're men, and they've been in jail for over 12 years for a crime they didn't commit. And so there's been a very large movement around, you know, getting their release, and it's been very difficult. So I started to write to Damien a few years ago because I felt odd that the situation hadn't been resolved, you know, after there had been two documentaries, Paradise Lost 1 and 2, which really, like, documented what had happened and got a lot of people interested and involved in trying to rally for their release. And, you know, Damien never had a real chance to tell his own story, and so mm-hmm. I encouraged him to write his autobiography. And helped him into getting it published, and so I'm actually his sort of publisher, and I'm distributing the book online on my website and also on the WM3.org site in a way to get awareness about his story and also to raise funds for his defense. And so it's a terrible, terrible, terrible travesty, and I'm hoping that what I can contribute with is something that will help him get closer to freedom. But it's very difficult. Our justice system is so terrible when it comes to righting its own wrongs.
Absolutely, and you're, on the other hand, closer to this case and obviously to Damien than most of us that have been, you know, kind of outraged by this case for many years. I mean, at this point, do you feel like hopeful that this wrong is going to be righted?
I'm hopeful, and I'm cautiously hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there,
yeah.
there, it's been so long, and it's that so many people are so aware of this case and have done stuff for it, you know, have like contributed to, have tried to get the word out, and still it goes on. And this is just one case, and there's so many cases like this in America and all over the world. But in America, especially when we talk about being a country that fights for our own freedom, when we can't even secure freedom for all of our citizens in the way that, you know, we should, it's a very sad situation.
Absolutely. And in what ways has this case or your relationship with Damien, because I know you've, you know, spent time with him, obviously you've published his book, which, by the way, is available on your website, as you say, margaretcho.com. What has that done in any way or any direction to your views on the death penalty?
Well, I find that the death penalty is an incredibly barbaric solution to this problem that is just, it's not going to work. I mean, it just doesn't work as a deterrent. It doesn't work as anything. I mean, it's just this terrible medieval thing that should be abolished. And I think that so many people don't really think about our justice system in the way that they should, because it doesn't necessarily directly affect them. But I feel very directly affected, and I really feel so strongly that this needs to be something we should do away with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, a lot of people don't have the kind of direct relationship that you have with someone like this that is not only on death row, but I think not enough counts yet, but by most counts, it totally was wrongly convicted.
Yeah.
And you know, like you say, how many, for every Damien Echols and Jason and Jesse, how many other people, you know, in this country, much less other countries, are there find themselves in the same situation?
Yeah.
Now, this kind of brings me to a question that might be brushing up against Barbara Walters' territory, so forgive me if it does. But but of all the causes and issues you're kind of passionate about, and which is obviously numerous, if there was a magic wand that enabled you to make one totally change or disappear, as case may be, which one would it be and why?
Well, I think that's such a difficult thing, because there's so many causes that are so important that are life or death.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just just a way to find equality, to find a way that we could all really believe that we were living in a society that was valuing equality, valuing it so much that it actually lived by that.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding that solution would sort of right a lot of wrongs.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a very difficult question. I don't even know where to start there. There's so many things.
Well, it's a take home test, so you can get back to me on that. So that's cool. So, you know, actually, Margaret, I'm worried that we're going to run out of time to even touch on some of the other people and issues I'd hope to discuss. So in the hopes of kind of shoehorning a few more into our allotted time, can I just throw out a few kind of hit and run style and just, you know, see however you want to respond? So William Bennett?
I don't know. No, that's just it just makes me think of Rehnquist. I don't know why.
Mm.
Rehnquist is dead, not William Bennett. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. No, I just thought with his recent radio statement that you might have some sort of choice to
state. No, not yet.
Okay. All right. Tom DeLay?
He is so busted. He is so not innocent.
Exactly. Yeah. No, he's outraged by these charges, though, right? By the indictment. And a lot of people, I didn't even realize this at first. I mean, this was actually not, Ronnie Earl. It was a grand jury. I mean, he keeps trying to say, hey, this guy's got it out for me. It was a grand jury that had nothing to do with Ronnie Earl.
I know.
And anyways, but again, if he weren't slick, he wouldn't be Dom DeLay. So,
yeah.
Anyway, let's see. And what about this notion of invisibility?
Well, it's something that's very hard to deal with, because it's something that a lot of people don't understand, because they have visibility in that they are able to see themselves reflected back in the media, in the news, in the kind of like movie world, in television. And so when you see yourself kind of racially depicted, if you see yourself in kind of like your story out there, then you don't feel invisible, and you can't comprehend invisibility. Yet people who do have invisibility find it hard to even describe the situation, because how can you suddenly become visible and discuss your invisibility when you're still invisible? So it's a very weird thing. But when you don't see yourself in the media, when you don't see yourself in movies or on television, then you start to feel like you don't exist. And this is a situation for many minorities in this country, and And it's a very strange one. And so my attempt to address it in my book is really kind of the first one that I've actually even seen out there, because it's a very hard one to address.
Yeah, it is kind of ephemeral. And like you say, I mean, unless you feel, unless you are the person that is invisible, you can't really know what it's like. And so it's hard probably to fully convey to those who are more visible or are completely visible.
Yes.
And speaking of someone who's very visible, and I was just struck by your kind of comments on him, do you want to take a second talk about Bill Cosby, who's someone who's, you know...
it's strange because I think that I wish that he would be more supportive of younger African-Americans and the whole idea of this very, like, growing, like, amazing, like, growing, like, youth culture. And he seems to be very dismissive of it and very angry about it, and you know the sort of last year's comments about people's grammar and being, but he's the guy that introduced Mushmouth on Fat Albert, so I don't know
how do those square exactly. yeah and okay, and let's see what else. How about the what we can only call on the air the Effett diet?
Oh, well, that's really just about finding a way to get some peace with our own bodies. I think that so many people, and women especially, are so concerned about things like weight and slimness, and those kinds of obsessions can really lead to dangerous diseases. Eating disorders are very terrible, and so my way of dealing with it was to just say Forget it all. You know,
sure.
Let it all go and don't worry about it and try to focus your life on other things. And oddly enough, it did work sort of like a diet in that weight fell away because I wasn't so concerned about keeping it away or wasn't concerned about thinking about it so much.
Yeah, it sounded like kind of a more important and higher level version of when people say, oh, I got to find somebody to date, I got to do this. And then when they say, you know what, screw it. And then, you know, a little bit later they meet somebody that's really cool. It's like that idea of sort of becoming kind of indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, your life gets so much better because it sounds like it's been exactly what you needed to do, and it's working great.
Yes, it's amazing because your life just sort of, once you trust, I think, your life to give you what you need, you really get it.
Yeah.
And when you start trying to fight it, trying to make it happen, it actually does happen.
Sure. Cool. And in our remaining moments, a couple of the things. Let's for sure hear about Bam Bam and Celeste, because I definitely want to make sure everybody's aware of that. It sounds really cool and interesting.
Oh, yes. It's my new film that I wrote, and I star in it. I've produced it, and it's great. It's a comedy. It's like a fag and fag hag love story. And it's a very fun thing. I mean, it's about a young girl and boy who very much outcast in their small town community, and they go to the big city, to New York City, to be on a reality television show, and their journey from leaving home and kind of this fairy tale about, you know, going through Midwest and driving and kind of like encountering all of these very like crazy people. And it's a lot of fun, and I'm really thrilled that we got to make it. It's great. It's got a lot of great people in it. Alan Cumming, Kathy Najimy, Jane Lynch, Elaine Hendricks. It's really tremendous, so I'm really proud of it.
And Margaret, I know it was up at the Toronto Film Festival recently. When will it be sort of more available for those of us who want to check it out?
I don't know. I think very soon. It'll probably be in theaters later this year. I mean, I don't know exactly how that goes or how it works, but
right.
Very soon, I think.
Well, meanwhile, there's no shortage of Margaret Cho projects out, because Assassin is out and coming... out on DVD on November 8th, if I'm not mistaken, and the book I Have Chosen to Stay and Fly, which we've sort of been talking about, some of the topics are that we've discussed are in there, that comes out October 20th,
mm-hmm.
The CD October 25th,
mm-hmm.
And then Bam Bam and Celeste coming to a theater near you soon, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Margaret, thank you so much for making the time to join us on Talking Animals. Good luck with everything, and thanks for all your great work.
Great, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks. All right, Margaret Cho joining us here on Talking Animals. One more time, the new concert film is Assassin, and I think it is in limited run there, I think up in L.A. and a few other places, not in Orange County at the moment that I know of. But again, the DVD of it will be out November 8th. And then, the book which comes out momentarily, which is really good, and there's a lot of stuff, a lot of what we discussed is in there. It's kind of a bunch of essays and opinion pieces and things kind of put together, but really there's we only touched on just a fraction of it. So that's that comes out October 20th, and the CD that goes with the film, I believe, October 25th, and then as you heard her say, the feature film Bam Bam and Celeste is on the horizon, about to come out. And for more info and a way to find out or to buy actually Damien Echols' book from the West Memphis 3, margaretcho.com, all kinds of great, I mean it's a really good website, really comprehensive, so margaretcho.com. I want to thank her again for that. Of course, we've already done Name That Animal Tune, so I think we are in the home stretch of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, the UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank Margaret Cho for joining us on Talking Animals. Again, the concert film Assassin, new book I've Chosen to Stay and Fight, etc., and the feature film coming soon to Theater News, we said. Bam Bam and Celeste, and all that and more can be sorted out on margaretcho.com. I hope you join us next Monday, October 10th, when our guest will be singer-songwriter John Doe from the band X, as well as the Knitters, and, of course, done a number of acclaimed solo work as a singer-songwriter as well. He's an actor who's been in more than 40 films, and turns out he's an animal guy, something of an animal advocate, and recently provided the narration for a documentary about animal rights, and he and his family live amongst multiple animals. So should be a fun, good conversation with him next Monday, October 10th. By the way, there are other great public affairs shows here on KUCI, including Weekly Signals with Mike Kaspar and Nathan Callahan on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. The OC Variety Hour, hosted by Cameron Jackson, on Wednesdays at 8 a.m. And typically, I also host a music show here called The Dead Air Zone on Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I will not be hosting it tomorrow, but the lovely Ana Morena, who helped us out today with phone calls and chasing down Margaret and other stuff, who I want to thank for that. She will be hosting the Dead Air Zone tomorrow. So check that out. It's tomorrow, Tuesday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on KUCI. And I urge you, meanwhile, to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. And please email me while we're at it, through the website or directly by way of talkinganimals@AOL.com with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along. And love to hear from you. Please stay tuned for Jeb Scott. As an answer to... All right, let's... Go ahead. You're on the air on KUCI. Hello, you're on the air on KUCI. Hi.
The song was Peter Gabriel, Spank the Monkey.
Well, that's close. Did you know the German version? Did you know the translation?
Hello?
Huh? Well, that was actually Shocked and Often. But I think that's close enough. What's your name?
I'm so sorry. My language is all messed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's always hard when you're doing a character, but... Anyways, all right, well, you know, send us an email if you want to come clean or not, and we'll get you set up with a price.
It's a confusing.
Okay, thank you for playing our game. All right. Okay, so it's always fun when friends, you know, call in with, you know, poorly rendered voices, but what the heck. Anyways, email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. Visit the website if you have any thoughts on guest suggestions, show topics, songs, ideas, comedy bits, etc. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. It's a great, great blues show here on KUCI. And this has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Another big thanks to Ana Morena for production assistance today. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're closing things out here with an animal-related tune. This is Oscar Aylman with Tiger Rag, folks, on KUCI in Irvine. Catch you next week on Talking Animals.